All right, this is lesson six, lecture number six. And what we're going to talk about tonight is a very important thing. We're going to talk about prayer time and daily study for the new Christian. When a person's saved, we need to emphasize to them that they need to begin a devotional life. That's very important. It's not just enough to come to church and hear the preacher preach and go to a Sunday school class. People need their own private devotional time that they spend with the Lord. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 1, verse 32. That's Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And we're going to read several verses, and I'm going to use one as a basis for what I'm going to say tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, and this is a verse I want to emphasize tonight. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he or Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So what I want to stress is verse 35. Jesus had his private time with the Father. He went away from the rest and went into the morning to pray, went out into a place where he met with the Father, and there he prayed. And it's so important that we do that. Life is going at such a fast pace, isn't it? I mean, there's so much to be done. And when we budget our time, we got to budget our time in a way that it'll benefit us spiritually. That's so important. We need to budget our time to do those things that must be done. You got to budget your time. You got to say, well, what is the most important? What takes the priority? And then act accordingly. We have hectic schedules. Many activities get lost in the shuffle. They're not done. They're left undone. We got to decide what our priorities are going to be. And we alone determine what will come first in our lives. What you put first is the utmost importance. If God and your devotion time, your private time with God, if that takes a back seat, then you need to tell the young Christian they're going to suffer spiritually. And that's true of a person who's been saved for many years. So we need to decide whether we're going to spend time talking with God, opening the Bible and letting him talk to us, or whether we're going to do something else. But here's what you got to do. You got to figure out what's primary and what's secondary. So many Christians do not have a daily time of prayer and Bible reading. It'd be embarrassing if I asked probably Sunday morning at church, and everybody were honest, how many of you have a time every day that you get alone with God at least once, maybe twice? You get alone with the Lord, you study the scripture, and you talk to him. Well, many times that's left out of the day of a lot of believers. But what it does, it leaves us unprepared to fight the battles of life. So there are three ways that prayer and Bible study is referred to when you do it privately. One way is daily devotions. Some people call it daily devotions, and that's a good way to say it. Others call it, and I hadn't heard it called that much this way, but some call it the morning watch. The morning watch is a second way that that's referred to. And thirdly, it's referred to as a quiet time. A quiet time where you just shut out everything else. Now, when I'm studying, I do better with a little bit of noise around me. I'm just a strange person, you know. I just do better with some noise. But when it comes time to talk to God, I don't want any disruption. I don't want any distraction. I don't want anything that's going to get me off track when I'm trying to talk to God. Now, what is the quiet time? Let me give you a less specific definition. I'll give you a minute to write it down. It's a time one spends communing It's the time you spend communing with God the Father. Jesus did that. And if our Lord needed to do that, how much more do we really need to spend time with the Father? It's the time you spend communing with God the Father. Now, you don't need to write this down unless you just want to. It's not something you answer. But more specifically, getting into more detail, it's a definite time. It's a definite time, and it involves prayer, meditation, and the study of God's Word. Too many times we skim read over the Bible. We talked about that last week. But we need to meditate. You chew for a while, and then you pick it back up, and you chew again. You keep on chewing, and I found that with food, the more I chew on it, the better it is, especially peanuts. You better chew on your peanuts long enough, and the more you chew on them, the better they're going to taste to your mouth. So it's important that we do that. It's a quiet time with God. What do we get out of it? We get strength when we have the quiet time, and Lord knows we need that desperately. We need strength. We need wisdom from God and communing with God, reading His Word, talking to Him. That gives us wisdom, and it also gives us guidance for every day. All those things. Now, this statement will answer, you help you fill out number six. If you don't have a daily devotional life, you're an easy prey to the devil. Boy, the devil's got you just where he wants you. Unless you're devoutly, consistently praying, reading your Bible, and talking to God. You're easy prey to the devil. And then also, on top of that, we're spiritually anemic and we get hungry. We need our spiritual hunger satisfied. And just going to church on Sunday and hearing the preacher is not going to give you full satisfaction. But when you're alone with your Heavenly Father, that's what will really meet the needs in your life. I believe the quiet time can be likened to a shower or a bath. Don't you love it when you're tired and worn out and you feel dirty, you've been out working or walking and just refreshing to get in the shower? Well, that's kind of what a quiet time's like. It's somewhat like a shower. Shower washes us. It refreshes us. It revives us. It helps protect us from being dirty, and it prepares us to fight spiritual warfare. So the quiet time is very important. We need to remember that this time we're talking about is an indispensable ingredient for a successful Christian life. It's not a take or choose. It is an indispensable ingredient. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." John Stott, in his book on basic Christianity, I'm going to quote him. Here's what he said. "Our relationship to our Heavenly Father, though secure, is not static. He ardently desires that His children shall grow up to know Him more and more intimately. Generations of Christians have discovered the only way to do so is to make time to wait upon Him every day." And so these quiet times are important. The more time we spend with the Lord, the better we get to know Him. That'll help you with number seven. The more time you spend with Him, you get to know Him better. Heard about a woman years ago. She had been a Christian for a long time, but she about had a nervous breakdown. She prayed to God for help, and the Holy Ghost sent her to a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 30, verse 15. And here's what the Bible says there. "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." So this woman made up her mind, "I'm going to spend some quiet time with God." Well, she'd get up a half an hour before the family got up. And she began to read the Bible, and she consciously considered the love of God, the bigness, the greatness of God. And one morning, there was a day she was had several difficult commitments to deal with. And she got to thinking about the children of Israel in the Red Sea. She said, "Well, when I thought about how easily God took care of several million people and brought them through that sea," she said, "I knew He could take me through my Red Seas that would arise." So she said, I left my quiet time with assurance, confidence, and faith. If God could open up the Red Sea for those Israelites, surely as you face your Red Seas, God can open them up. Well, in a short while, she began this daily devotions and spending a quiet time with God. Her nervousness absolutely left her. And people knew that. They knew this woman was about to have a nervous breakdown. But she began spending private time with God. And she became an inspiration and an encouragement to those people. They didn't believe she had ever had a bout with a nervous breakdown. But she almost got there. But what got her out of it was her quiet time with God. We got all kind of distractions today. And I'm sure Satan uses everything he can to keep us from spending time with God. Might be the television, might be the radio, might be the cell phone, might be automobiles. Right when you're studying your Bible, if you're in town, here goes a glass pack right by the house. He'll use anything in the world to try to distract you. And we're caught up in a flurry of activity. But what we've got to do is set aside a few moments, few minutes for our devotions. And instead of being filled with all these things we got to do, I know when you wake up, you think, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, before you start doing that, spend some time with God. Just spend the time alone with the Lord. Now, a lot of Christians, they go on and on. They don't spend time with God. Here's the result of it. Number 8, they rarely enjoy the fruitful, abundant life that Jesus gives. They're existing. They're getting by. How many of you just want to get by? Not me. I want God's best. So they fail to enjoy the fruitful, abundant life that Jesus offers. Now, quiet time's not just a helpful idea. It's necessary for our growth. You know, when it's cold season or flu season, if you're in good physical condition, you can fight that off somewhat. And so we got to be in a good spiritual condition or spiritually fit to fight off evil. That's so important. Number 9, it's so important to fight off evil. That need to be spiritually fit. Good to be physically fit, but if that's all you are, you're missing the best part of life. Need to be spiritually fit. So no matter who you are, a new Christian, an old Christian, a pastor, church member, you can't live successfully, fully successfully, until you cultivate a quiet time. Here's what Isaiah 40:31 says, and write that reference down. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, that sounds like a good promise, doesn't it? Shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Well, some people say, well, I've tried the quiet time and it doesn't work for me. Well, you got to make up your mind it's going to work for you. So we need to be still and know God in the midst of this high pressure society. We're living in a crazy world. I guess you've already heard that Fox News has gotten rid of Tucker Carlson. Too straight for them. They're going the other way, looks like, in so many ways. But this is a crazy world we're living in. When you hear something on the news the next day, don't be a bit surprised. Anything could happen in this society we're in. How can we have a successful quiet time? Well, the first thing is recognize the importance of it. Recognize how important it is. You're never successful at what you do until you're committed to succeeding at it. And it's the same way with this quiet time. Some say the quiet time was their lifeline. Now, what verse proves that? 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure, unsullied, absolutely pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Martin Luther said this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. That's a good statement then. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And then also consider this, Communication with Jesus through prayer and his word, that's the lifeline of every believer. The one word that sticks out to me there is that word commitment. That's what will make the quiet time work in your life. Be committed. If you got to go into work, get up at a certain time. You make up your mind that every day you're going to spend X amount of time with the Lord. You're going to read some scripture. And don't just open your Bible. We talked about that, I think, last week. Don't just open it up and say, I'm going to read that, and there it is. No, read systematically. Pick out a book to start reading for your devotions and read all the way through that book. And when you're done, then look for another book of the Bible to read through. Communication through prayer and the word is the spiritual lifeline of the believer. Now let's go back to our text verse. Let me quote it again, Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while, Jesus got up very early. He wanted to make sure that he was uninterrupted in his prayer time. He went out. Didn't say he and a gang or he and a group. He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. So if Jesus needed to do that, and he's the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God, God in the flesh, if he needed to do that, how much more do we need to make sure we're spending some solitary time with our Heavenly Father? Second thing to do is to cultivate a taste for the quiet time. Peter challenges us to desire the Word of God. Here's what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 15:16. He said, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. How do you eat the Word of God? Well, it's pretty simple, really. How do you get nutrition? You put the food in your body. You take it in. That glass of milk you drink may turn into blonde hair and blue eyes. It may turn into who knows what. Those vegetables you eat become a part of you. But if you eat a green vegetable, you don't turn green. If you eat squash, you don't turn yellow. So what you do is digest it for benefit. And that's what we do with the Word of God. Here's how you eat the Word of God. You digest it in the sense that you make it a part of your life. You take it in. It will not change you if it's superficially outside. It's not going to change you until you take it in. Just like physically eating. You can look at food all day long, but if you don't put it in your mouth and get it in your digestive system, it's not going to help your body. So we need to share with him in prayer. Because I love my wife, I want to be with her. Now, I can't be with her as much as I want to. I have a lot to do, and fellas got to fish a little bit. Do you guys say amen? But I want to be around her. I do. And the reason is because I love her. Now, we don't always agree on everything, but we love one another. And I enjoy, she's not only my wife, she's my best friend. Your wife better be your best friend. Or your husband. That's the way it's supposed to work. When I'm traveling away from home, if I go fishing for the day, I call up home, say, how's things going? And all that. I don't know if that helps it or not, but I do it anyhow. So if you love Jesus, you want to have the same desire. You want to talk to him. You want to spend some time with him. We need to be in contact with him. And I'm telling you, this fellowship with God is a wonderful thing. Sometimes I may not be planning a devotional time, but I'll turn on some song and the Holy Ghost will get to tickling inside my soul like a feather. And before you know it, I'm either crying or about ready to run out of the house or whatever. That's a time with God. May not be a specified quiet time, but it's just spending time with the Lord and the things of God. It's always a blessing. Third thing to do is determine to maintain the quiet time. You know, it's kind of like exercise. I made up my mind here a while back. I was going to be physically fit, and I was going to walk at least 3 times a week on the treadmill. You know how long it's been since I've been on the treadmill? It's been about 3 weeks since I've even walked on it. So that's the way it goes sometimes. But we really make time for what's most important to us. Now, you'll probably walk a treadmill pretty good if you find out you've got a serious problem, and that treadmill is going to help you overcome it. So what we do, and this is number 15, I have found it's important to make time for what's important to me. What's important? What's important to you? And let me go back to 14. I don't want you to miss that one. You know, this, I hope this is working out good for you, because you get to write, it's late in the evening, and, you know, it does you good to be listening and really getting involved. Here's what motivates me to quiet time, because God wants to meet with me. The God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, with all power and all might and all authority, and sustains everything, he wants to spend time with me. Now, I wonder if the President of the United States were to call you up and say, well, I wouldn't with this one, but I would have with the other one. I wouldn't even go visit with this one. But anyhow, if they called you up and said, come on up, spend the day with me, why, you'd be thrilled to death if it were the right person in office. I mean, you'd take them up on that. But here's the God of heaven, far more important than the President of the United States. He's saying, come and meet with me. I want to meet with you. I want to spend some time with you. So that's so important. What's important to you? Well, that's what you're going to do. And if reading's more important, you're going to spend more time in reading. If working in the yard's more important, you're going to spend more time working in the yard. Even church work, if it's important, it's going to come first. But what about fellowship with God? Don't get too busy to spend your private time with the Lord. It said that John Wesley, the Methodist preacher, preached 44,000 sermons in his lifetime. That's a lot of sermons. I'd like to have all his sermon notes. 44,000. He traveled horseback. He traveled in a carriage over 30,000 miles. And we fuss about our automobiles. You better thank God for your Ford, Chevrolet, Toyota, or whatever it is you drive. But here's what he wrote grammar books, he wrote theological books, he spoke in four languages, and yet John Wesley resolved, half hour in the morning, half hour in the evening, that's his time with God. No wonder God used that man like he did. So it's a matter of putting first things first. That's what we've got to do. Too many times we put secondary things first. But it ought to be first things first. There was a concert artist who, someone went to this person and said, what's the secret of you and mastering that violin? They got an answer they didn't expect. Said, plan neglect. So I thought, well, that's a strange answer. And she began to explain that, and she began to say, well, there are a lot of things that demand my time. But she said, I would do what I needed to do, what I had to do, and when I finished my work, I'd turn to my violin practice. But she said that didn't work. So to do what I should on the violin, I reversed things. She had planned neglect. That's the word you won't need. Planned neglect. She said, I deliberately planned to neglect everything else until my practice was completed. There you go. First things first. So she said that program of neglect was the secret of my success. Maybe there's some things that we need to neglect so we can be more successful in maintaining our relationship with God. We need to make time for fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Here's what Matthew Henry said. Prayer is the key of the morning and the bolt of the evening. It's the key of the morning and the bolt of the evening. So these men recognize that discipline's required for a fruitful quiet time. Let's look at some practical steps in developing the quiet time. First thing is to be regular. Be regular. The next one, just write these down in a row. Then be quiet, and we'll deal with them here in a minute. Be regular, be quiet, and be systematic. All right, let's look first of all at being regular. Acts 17:11 says of the Christians at Berea, they searched the scriptures daily. They didn't say once a week or maybe every other week or two times a week. Every day the people at Berea searched the Bible. So They had a time they were going to meet God. It was every day. They had a time they were going to search the scriptures to investigate what God had to say, and they did. They developed regularity. Now, don't bite off more than you can chew and try to start out and say, I'm going to spend an hour with God in the morning, an hour in the evening. Work your way into it. If you're not doing it regularly, work your way into spending time with God. As you see, there's more time to do it, take more time with the Lord. But if you try to do too much at one time, you might get a little discouraged and you may fail. So maybe start out at least 15 minutes a day reading a part of the Bible and praying at least that. And if you'll determine to do that, you can accomplish a lot. And then I said, be quiet. Write down Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quietness, confidence. Make your quiet time a quiet time. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Don't let anything distract you. Spend time with me and find out really who I am. There's an old Navy rule that says when ships readjust their compasses, they drop anchor in a quiet spot. I know if a fellow's going to set a spot lock where you want your boat to trolling motor to hold you in a certain place, you're not supposed to do it when the wind's blowing big and that boat's trying to turn a right circle and the wind blows you here and blows you there. When you turn that spot lock on after you've done that, it's going to let you go everywhere. You got to find a quiet, still place to set the spot lock. And I believe it's so important in our life. And we need a quiet place. We close our mind to distractions from the outside, and we get more out of our fellowship with God. Third thing is be systematic. The Bible said they received the word with all readiness. So you just choose the best time of the day to spend time with God. Hudson Taylor said, whatever is your best time in the day, give that to communion with God. Now, what did we say last week? Probably the best time would be early in the morning before you get so many things on your mind. Some wake up quickly and others wake up slowly. Some of us like roosters and some of us like owls. That's the way it goes. Consistency is the main thing. I think the best time I've found is early in the morning when I first get up. The psalmist wrote, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct it to you, and I will look up. Be great if we had that resolve, the psalmist said. And the Lord said in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So I believe the Bible encourages early quiet time with the Lord. Maybe you need to put the magazine down early you're reading, or the newspaper, or maybe you need to stop playing on that cell phone a little bit earlier and flipping through Facebook and all that. And go to bed early enough to spend some time with the Lord. Consistency requires faithfulness. Consistency requires faithfulness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:2, jot that reference down. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what we are? Stewards. God has given us a household to manage. And how are you using your time? Are you managing your time? Are you managing your life the way the Lord would have you to? So quiet time is very important. And it's important when we read to make things as comfortable as you can. Now, I've got a large print Bible in front of me. And whether I have glasses on or whether I don't, I like a large print Bible. It makes it more comfortable reading. I have a Finnish, J. Finnish Dake study Bible that Ralph Sexton Sr. referred to a lot in his ministry. And I tell you, all the prints are small. I have a hard time with my glasses. If you got a big edition of that, it'd be so thick. It'd look like a one-volume encyclopedia. But anyhow, make it as comfortable as you can when you're spending time with God. Quiet time ought to begin with prayer. It ought to begin with confession of sin as well. And then we need to ask God, now, Lord, I'm here to spend this time with you. And, Lord, may you make this a blessed, fruitful time as we spend time together. Prayer is the key that unlocks the treasures of God's Word. A lot of people never will get what they ought to have the Bible because they just pick the Bible up, they skim through it, and they put it down, and there's no prayer involved, and there's no asking God to open your understanding up. When you pick this book up, it do you well to say, Lord, help me to understand the Scripture. Enlighten my understanding. Increase my comprehension of the Word of God. It's so important. So how do we prepare ourselves? I'm going to quickly give you six suggestions to offer in preparing yourself and during your quiet time. Number one, notice, you have to write these down, notice the promises of God. You know what I like about the promises of God? He keeps his promises. He's never promised me one thing that he's failed to come through on. And when you're choosing a presidential candidate 24, it'd be wise to remember that. Choose somebody who makes promises and keeps them. Notice the promises of God. I have to say that discreetly, you know. But number two, look for guiding principles in your daily life. See, the Bible's not so much a book of rules, but it's a book of principles. It's full of principles that God has laid down for our lives. Then thirdly, commit to memory verses. Some people, I told a fellow the other week, he's up to 70, and I said, it'd do you well to memorize the Bible some. He said, I'm too old to memorize the Bible. Nobody's too old to memorize the Scripture. Memorize one verse, and then once you get that mastered, it'll be easier to memorize the second and going and on memorizing, and you may be a Jack Van Impe. You may be a walking Bible. If you'll just get started memorizing the Scripture, it's so important to do that. When you do that and you get it in your mind and your heart, when the devil comes at you with something, throw the Word of God in his face. He can't handle that. Jesus proved that in the wilderness. Every temptation that came, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God said. The devil couldn't handle that. And so it's important to commit verses to memory. Then as you spend quiet time, don't hurry. Set a time and just don't rush through that time. Make whatever time you set for that devotion time, make it a time where you learn and get what you should. Somebody said, was it Benjamin Franklin, haste makes waste, and it does. That's true in your devotion time. If you try to skim through it, don't take time to meditate, you'd be better off to take one verse and really think it over good and say, Lord, show me some nuggets out of this. I mean, you'd be better to do that than you would to read 30 verses and skim through them. Just take your time. Don't get in too big a hurry. And then I would say number five, be rested. The Lord said, I will give you rest. Rest is a gift from the Lord. Spiritual rest is. Now, we enjoy physical rest. You've got to get that. And if you don't get enough physical rest, it might affect your spiritual rest. The physical and the spiritual are tied together. They are. To some degree, they're tied together. So late nights can kill the quiet time. Then I will say number six, be expectant. When you get into your quiet time, you look for God to say something to you. Look for him to do something. Here's what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now, to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly, I like it, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, he can go far beyond whatever we think, according to the power that worketh in us. So when you have your quiet time, go into it expectantly. Say, Lord, I believe you're going to do something. And I'm looking for you to do it. Let him speak to you, and he'll meet some specific need in your life. He somehow tailors the Scripture to meet our individual needs. Isn't that wonderful? If we lack power in our lives, if we feel like something's missing, make sure you have the quiet time. And whatever you do, when somebody becomes a new Christian, encourage them to have a time with God every day, at least once a day. Whether it's twice or not, at least once a day, alone with the Heavenly Father. Jesus went out into a solitary place. If he set the example for that, you and I need to do it as well.